This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Our doom scrolling habits are getting out of hand, but is it really our fault? Joining me now is Ian Croft, a counsellor with D9 Therapy. Ian works with people around mental health and behaviour, and today he's here to help us understand why apps like TikTok can be so addictive and what that means for our well-being. Ian, thank you so much for joining me on the show. First off, let's jump into it. The EU has said TikTok is too addictive and may be harming users' mental health, especially young people. What makes an app like TikTok so hard to put down?
Well, look, the design of the user interface, it's so easy just to keep scrolling nonstop. We're all guilty. And, you know, a lot of younger people are looking at the adults and seeing our online behaviours. So that's one of the issues. But it's very hard to put down because of the way our brain acts and the dopamine. We just want more and more dopamine. You know, the short videos as well, short form videos are just becoming increasingly popular. And with all of the platforms, obviously, they want to get people engaged. And the more engaged people are, the better these platforms do. So they're all competing for engagement. And that's the worry there. I mean, it's a commercial business. So having people on the platforms is how they want to have people.
I know this is pushing our brain into autopilot mode. That's what we're being told. Can you explain what psychologically that actually is, you know, pushing your brain into autopilot mode? It's not something that people might be that familiar with as a terminology.
Well, when our brain goes into autopilot, you know, we basically we're becoming hooked on you know, this level of dopamine. We just crave more and more, and the body doesn't know when to say no unless we learn to have the boundaries in place and learn ourselves. It's just the way our brain, the neurology of our brain and the neural pathways are set up. So when we get satisfied by videos and seeing things that we want to see based on the algorithm keeps on sending us more and more of these videos, we get very satisfied and it's hard to withdraw then.
The EU are describing TikTok as well as rewarding its users with new content. As you mentioned there, it's just constantly more and more and more of it. Is it in any ways something that you could compare to addictive behaviour that can appear with the likes of gambling and things like that, because it is kind of addictive?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is, I guess, what we're kind of setting young people up for is issues further down the line. Like what people see on TikTok isn't necessarily reality, but we can come to believe that it's reality and what these influencers are telling us. And a lot of younger people are having what they believe is a real connection with the influencers. And then they want to have more of this connection as well. So it's you know, but basically how we build our resilience and our emotional skills and our social skills is through real connections, real social and in-person connections. And that helps develop our brain in a more healthy way that's going to make us more resilient for when we become adults. So we're going to be less likely to crave things like food addiction, like gambling, sex and love, all these sort of things. So it's kind of trying to find ways to have the boundaries in place, but to teach people and young people in particular to be more resilient so that they can actually have their brain develop and their neural pathways develop in a healthier way.
What are you seeing in clients that are presenting to you at the minute? You know, there's a particular concern about minors using TikTok late at night and things like that. Is that something that's popping up in sessions for you?
Well, in D9 Therapy, we have Emer and Aoife who do work with the young adults and people from upwards of ages of 7. And like social media, Instagram, TikTok is becoming a major problem for the young people, they tell me, where they're not able to put the phone down and where some parents don't prohibit screen time and children are being left with the phones. They're saying they're turned off, but they're actually turning them back on. They're seeing a lot of people with the beauty filters and people who have these, you know, supposedly amazing bodies. And this is what young people are now perceiving to be reality. And then there is they have these parasocial relationships with these influencers who, you know, a lot of the time it doesn't actually really represent the reality for the influencers. They're putting this particular lifestyle, this particular image, particular body image, sometimes a particular diet that they're presenting to people as their diet is not actually the real diet. And again, these the influencers are trying to get the younger people to engage with them, to get their views up, getting them to like, subscribe, follow. That, like, you know, something we hear all the time now in the videos, like, subscribe and follow. And sometimes when they might comment or reply to a young person, you know, then they might get another comment, then they think, oh, this person actually really cares about me, and I'm going to go back into all their videos and I'm going to watch all their videos and comment on all their videos, and hopefully they might see more of my comments. So they're developing these relationships with these people, but they're not actually real, meaningful and deep relationships.
They would be, as you said, parasocial, because it is existing on an online platform. And I know we speak particularly about young people here, but there's also concerns about how TikTok and the like could affect vulnerable adults. Who would fit into that type of category?
Well, it's as you mentioned earlier about the gambling, because gambling is now online as well, that people are just wanting more and more of the dopamine hit that they're getting from online usage, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, or these gambling platforms. Everything is designed to lure people in and to get people to buy different things that they can reward contributors and content creators with. It's a lot of money. People are spending money on avatars and clothing for their avatar. Again, you know, in this online world, it doesn't even really exist. It's just a virtual outfit, but people can spend a lot of money on the designer clothes in this, you know, world that they want to exist in, which is not real.
Even if you're not someone who is predisposed as being classed as vulnerable, what type of mental health issues could you potentially run into as a general Joe Soap individual, as an adult who is overly using these type of apps?
Well, there is people suffering with, you know, very low self-esteem and anxiety issues as well. But also eating disorders are on the rise, which we believe is due to social media use, and they feel there is a correlation between social media use and platforms and eating disorders that is on the rise. And as well as in saying that, there is not as much support in Ireland for people suffering with eating disorders as there is in other parts of Europe.
Do you think that there needs to be a change in the design on the platform? I know that the EU says that that should be the case, and that it shouldn't just be that users should be told to manage themselves. Do you think that responsibility should not only be on the user, but on the platform as a whole?
Right, I do think there should be changes implemented, and I think with parents should have more control over what they're watching, over what their children are watching. And a lot of the time, what children are seeing is what the algorithm thinks they want to see and what they should see, but it's not necessarily the messages that they need to receive. So they're seeing all sorts of different things, again, which it's not fact-checked, but when people see stuff online, they perceive it to be real, and they can take a lot of these messages or a lot of the information on board without it actually being verified. So there needs to be better control over, you know, the fact-checking, but as well as parental controls. Sort of a parent sets a parameter that TikTok can't be used after 9 p.m. You know, with the blue screen, people in general shouldn't be really looking at the blue screens late at night. It's bad for, you know, a good healthy sleep cycle and a sleep pattern. But also as well with actually limiting the amount of use, so the parental controls should be in place to say, okay, you know, 40 minutes TikTok today, provided you do your homework or you do some household chores. So to actually get them more engaged in the real life activities.
I can understand the significance of that being implemented for children, where the adults have the control over those screen time breaks and things like that. But what about as an adult? I mean, if TikTok removed the features like the infinite scroll or gave us forced screen breaks, do you think it would actually help people in the long run? Would people just move to another app? Can we still kind of solve this situation?
I think people probably would move to another app, and, you know, TikTok might say that that's unfair to target them, because it's a business at the end of the day. It's a commercially viable business and they want people to come to the platform. And I think apart from, you know, design implementation of new systems, I think it's actually about supporting people to become more resilient. You know, I think the government could also be putting ads out there to help people to take a pause and take a break. You know, we could have it maybe every 15 minutes, encouraging people just to check in with themselves, do some deep breathing and just have a pause. And, you know, after maybe a brief interruption into the doom scrolling cycle, maybe people will say, actually, it's time to pause and put the phone down and get on with other things, because it can be quite detrimental when we get stuck in a doom scroll. 2 hours have passed and you realise that, you know, there's a lot to be done, and you haven't gone out to meet your friends or kicked the ball around or just gone out for a walk with the dog, these type of things. So there is, it will be concerning if we kept going on this current trend that we are going, that a lot of the social relationships that we've had in the past are breaking down.
If there is someone listening this evening who might be thinking that they're struggling with, you know, feeling compulsiveness around using apps like TikTok and the like, and also maybe they're stuck doom scrolling, what would your advice be for them this evening?
Well, it's like a lot of the time people have come to me, they're losing the connection with themselves, with their friends, but also with nature. Getting out into nature, having a walk, walking barefoot in the grass can sound a bit silly, but the connection with nature is very important, and it's a bit worrying that we're going in such a way that people are moving the majority of their time into the online world. Even fitness is now all virtual, remote training. A lot of people, they'd rather connect with an online coach than get out and join a fitness club or, you know, go to the local community centre and start dancing. And I think just kind of breaking that cycle and encouraging people to move into the community settings, look at what's nearby them, reach out to a friend that they haven't reached out to in a while. If they're feeling really low, to reach out to a local support. We have D9 therapy in Santry, or to reach out to any counselling service provider in their area. But definitely with the community centre, we also have a great community centre here, we're blessed, but to reach out to a resource nearby where we can have a connection. A lot of people are actually becoming a bit fearful of social connections, actually re-engaging with these sort of environments, because social anxiety is also increasing as a result of going onto these platforms and seeing what the algorithm wants them to see and encouraging them to keep on scrolling rather than, you know, make a bit more of an effort to have an old-fashioned connection through like social events.
Well, Ian, thank you so much for all of your thoughts this evening on all of this. Ian Croft there, counsellor with D9 Therapy, talking about the effects of apps like TikTok and addictive behaviour.
This is iRadio's
Group Chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.